Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
What should sports parents do when they feel their kids' coaches focus too much on winning? This is Lisa Cohn. Today I'm here with John Mahomes, a sports mom with three kids. Also joining us is my brother, mental game coach Patrick Cohn. Hi, John Ma. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
Fine, thanks.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Well, let's begin by telling me just a little bit about how old your kids are and what sports they play.
I have three kids, should I say wonderful kids. My oldest one, Franz, is 20, and he runs track. He's on the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. I have a 16-year-old, Cornelius, who plays football and basketball at a local high school here in Nashville. And then my daughter is 15, and she plays basketball for a local high school as well.
So you've put a lot of time into sports parenting.
I've been a teen mom since the day they came out of the womb.
Well, now, I know you probably have a lot of issues, but I think the big issue for you has been your 16-year-old son, who I understand is a great athlete, and the way the coaches manage that team or a series of teams for him.
Right.
And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, my son has been playing youth football since he was about 5-6 years old, and he played for a really dynamite team, which has won several national youth sports championships.
Mm-hmm.
He did when he was 10, he won a national, 11, 12, they won national. And the focus in that ballpark was, you know, they had a winning tradition anyway. They always recruited the best kids, and kids would come as far away as two counties just to play sports in that ballpark. What we saw over the years is that as he got into the ages of 9, 10, and 11 years old, the emphasis was just on winning and not about being an athlete and not about the game of life. The skills that you learn on the field are going to go with you through the rest of your life, like teamwork and not just being the star. You know, you can't have 21 stars on one football team, you know.
Well, now, tell me, was this an elite team or was this a recreational team when he was age 9, 10, and 11?
He played with that team. It was a private park. He played with that team until he was 13 years old.
So it wasn't exactly a recreational team.
No, I wouldn't call it recreational. It was not a school-sanctioned sport, if that's what you're asking. You know, we have a different terminology down here, but, you know, the parents paid into, you know, we paid dues to be a member of the park, and then our kids were part of teams according to their age level and skill set.
But was it seen as being an upper level or an elite group of teams?
Yeah, it was because, you know, the way the park was marketed, like these kids were on ESPN. They played their games on ESPN. They were in ESPN magazine. They got a lot of national press, so they were they would be considered a pretty elite group.
So it wasn't it clearly was not your everyday recreational team.
No, it wasn't around the corner counter.
Oh, I see. Oh, so it was something you had kind of signed up for that then. But you weren't really happy with how focused it really was on winning then.
It was by the time they got older with his age group, they were such a dynamic group together that as they grew and matured together, they became better, you know, at what they did. And the idea for them was to go out on the field and score 65 points a game. And believe it or not, they would do that.
Well, now. Well, tell me about what was hard about that, though. I'm sure that they were great players, but as a parent, give me some, like, specifics about the focus on winning and why you didn't like it.
Well, okay, let's take one particular game when they played against a team, and it was 65-0. And this was by this time it was third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, and this is not a whining parent, because my kid was considered defensive player of the year two or three times. He mm-hmm. got a lot of winning time. I mean, he got a lot of playing time.
Mm-hmm.
But when a team is 65-0, at that point, why not put every child in the game? Let
mm-hmm.
every child get a piece of the, you know, of, you know, the winning spirit. But instead, you know, you have one kid making six touchdowns. It was just total dominance, and I'm sitting there going, and you could see the kids going, please, please, coach, can I just get in for a minute? No, 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 we're going to score one more time, and then we're going to let you get in. And that just was like, you could just see their you could see them feeling so crushed. And as a mom who kid was on the field a lot, I even felt bad. I even said, hey, let the kids that are not necessarily getting a lot of action time when the score is that far apart, why not just put them in?
Right.
Why not? And the attitude of the coaches were, well, we're gonna dominate. We're trying to get 100 points on it, on the scoreboard. And that's when you got to, as a parent, go, now enough is enough. Or when is enough points on the board is enough?
Well, now
you've already surely won the game.
Right.
So
now
I want to ask
my brother his opinion here. So Patrick,
okay.
what's your opinion about how sports parents should behave under this situation? Remember, it's not exactly a recreational team.
Well, there's a lot of angles that I would take with this, John. I mean, I think you could look at – we talk in our workbook about how to communicate best with coaches and when's the best time to approach a coach with some of those issues about playing time and dominating another team, et cetera. But sometimes the best option might be to, you know, work with your child and work with the other kids as sports parents. You might not 100% of the time be able to change coaches per se, but at the start of the season, some of these things can be ironed out between the parents and the coach, especially for those kids that aren't as talented and maybe spending more time on the bench if the coach is running up the score, you know, to talk about what's your view on playing time, you know, and if you're leading by a couple of touchdowns, is that a time when you're going to put in the second string and some of the other players? So maybe, you know, we talk about at the start of the season being able to communicate and hammer some of those things out, and as parents come together and talk about those things. But from I really like your ideas about, you know, sports should also be about learning teamwork and character and gaining confidence and learning how to focus under pressure, all of those life skills, I think, that come along with sport rather than just the trophy at the end of the championship. You know, there's a lot of other great things. But
Right. Parents
can come together and talk with their kids about, you know, that it's also about focusing on the process, and it's not all about thinking about we need to win, we need to win big. We talk a lot in our workbook, in our sports parent workbook, The Ultimate Sports Parent, about how to teach kids to focus on execution in the process and not be so absorbed about winning, because often focusing too much on winning becomes a pressure for kids,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or an expectation that turns into a pressure for kids.
Right.
Whereas we talk about how to teach kids to focus on the moment, have fun in the moment, and learn how to execute, which leads to, you know, good things, leads to good outcomes.
Now, I want to. I'm also curious about what happened to these kids who are now 16. How many of them are still playing? Because sometimes that kind of pressure and those expectations will cause the kids to quit.
That's a good point. A lot of them are not playing. Of the kids that played that last year with him, they are not playing football. Their parents can't even get them to go even toward the game. I have a kid that's still playing football, but what you just said, Doctor, he does have that, you know, the game is all about pressure now. And I'm going, wait, relax. And I, as a parent, spend the whole 2 days before a game making sure he's in a relaxed mode. You know, we're not talking about football. We're not talking about the upcoming game. We just want him to feel relaxed. There's no pressure around us, because we're saying to him, we're going to cheer you on no matter what you do, no matter what happens on the field, you're still our hero. And helping to him to understand that it's okay to not win every game, but when we see what happened to him when he was in that program for that long a time, that is his mindset. And we're just trying to refocus him into thinking, you know what, you're going to have good skills when you go off, and if you want to play college ball, you're going to have a lot of positive skills to take with you. But we did see that. We saw that agitation and the pressure that he would feel and not even notice it in his face. As a young man, he would always break out right before the game, which let me know he was internalizing a lot of the emotions about coming to play the game that Friday night. So it's been a journey. I didn't experience that with my first one, and I sure didn't experience that with my last one, because I learned from watching him that I wanted to make sure I put her in an environment, my youngest in an environment that was about grooming character as well as the game. I like to win, you know, I like to win just like everyone else, but I didn't want them to feel so that it's all about that.
Well, now, did you and the other parents ever try to band together and talk to the coaches about the way they were running the team?
Yeah, but we did, but you didn't want to feel I wanted to make sure that I didn't want someone to feel defensive. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're out there coaching my kids.
Right.
Last thing I wanted was, you know, them feeling that kind of pressure. But I think it was being diplomatic in the conversations that we were having and
mm-hmm.
just sharing with them without being critical of the coach. And never, mm-hmm. never did I have a conversation about the coach in front of my son. I always made sure that the conversation that we had with him was just about the game of life, you know, and how you're executing it on the football field. But never once did we discuss what we thought was not good about the coaching with him. And so I think that in itself was good. But when we did have those conversations with the coaches, not just one, but, you know, more than one at that time, it was about how can we help you? What we as parents or the team mom or team moms could do, or and team dads could do to help with getting the kids to be more organized and to, you know, be leaders on the team. So if our conversation was about everything other than winning, it would kind of bring the coach into that kind of line of thinking.
Well, gee, you were really smart about this, I must have to say, because those are the kind of things we talk about in our workbook about how to talk to a coach, and you don't want to criticize them. You do want to, you know, try to be on their side, and you want to be diplomatic, and you don't want to talk in front of the kids. I think you did everything right. Patrick, would you have anything to add?
No, yeah, I think that's great, and I think it's perfectly acceptable for the parents and the coach to get together and talk about some of these guidelines pre-season about how do you want the parents to behave on the sidelines, as well as some of the parents' concerns about playing time, about running up the score, and et cetera.
Now, I have I'm curious. I asked you about the other kids. How many of them dropped off the team, and why?
A lot of kids, by the time they made it to that last game that they played in Las Vegas for the championship game, after that season they were headed into high school. They were middle schoolers at that time. And you could not – it's very few. Maybe – I think my son is six. He was six out of 21 kids that actually stayed with the football throughout
wow.
their – yeah. It was just a turnoff.
It was a turnoff. All the pressure was a turnoff.
All the pressure. And you can tell the six that stayed in it were probably the ones that got a lot of playing time and got
right.
a lot of accolades from the coach. But they were still pressured.
Right.
Just because your kids are running up the scoreboard or they're being the greatest defensive player out there doesn't mean that they don't feel the pressure that they got to perform a certain way.
Well, now, ultimately, how do you think that experience affected your son?
He's the confidence that he had when I saw him at 10 or 11. We see that he's working to get that back, and he's a dynamo. And I'm not saying this because I'm the mom that birthed a great kid, but he's a great athlete. But you can still see that little insecurity there, and I can see that hesitation as a mother sitting up in the bleachers. I can feel him hesitating when I'm thinking, go straight through. And you can feel that hesitation of, am I going to make the wrong move? And you just don't have those kind of seconds to decide that on a football field in the middle of the game.
And you think that comes from that experience?
I think it comes from that experience. And he's looking at the sideline. I remember in one game, their playoff, the last year that he played there, he looked over at the coach three times to see what the coach was looking, you know, how he was looking. And I remember asking him, and I said, well, what's going on? He said, I was seeing if coach was mad at me.
Oh, yeah, we talk about that. We have
That's very, very common. You know, the simplistic view of all this is there's a tradition of excellence. There's a tradition of winning. So there is an expectation that they are supposed to be winners, and the coach wants them to be winners. And that can sometimes lead to this what we call fear of failure. And fear of failure is I don't want to make any mistakes because I don't want to upset I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want the coach to be upset with me, or I don't want my teammates to be upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
So his hesitation could be born out of that fear of failure of not wanting to make mistakes and upset the balance.
And that's exactly what we see. And one time I remember playing back the game to him, and not in a critical way, but we just like to watch the game with family members who, you know, can't make it into town. And my mom was watching the game, and we were all sitting there, and she, not knowing any of the dynamics that I'm sharing with you guys, said, why did he just hesitate?
That's really interesting.
And I said, she saw that. And then we turned to him, and he said, well, I didn't want to mess up. But he got what you don't know that happened was that he got clobbered with that hesitation.
Right.
He set himself up in the fear of failure. He set himself up to fail.
Right, and that's another thing we talk about in our workbook. But your story is a wonderful example about why it is so important for sports parents to get in there and find the right coaches and the right teams for their kids and be proactive and to find polite ways to talk to the coaches and maybe even consider switching teams, all of which we cover in our workbook. And, John Ma, I bet you've got a lot of things to talk about, and I suspect we should have you on again.
You should have me on again, and I have referred your workbook to all of the parents in my network, and so I just think it's awesome that you're talking about things that are so vital to what's going on in the world of parenting and sports, you know, youth sports right now. I think there's no right or wrong way, but you do give us a guide to how we can do this. So
well,
I appreciate
thank you.
That.
Yeah, well,
great.
We'll,
thanks for your input.
We're going to have you back. Thanks.
Okay.
Both.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.